So hello guys, here's Dhakar Bhaiya. So we are going to start today the series of Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita as it is, we will read. Okay. I'm reading. We are reading Bhagavad Gita as it is the largest selling, most widely used edition of the Gita in the Western world. Bhagavad Gita is universally renowned as the jewel of India's spiritual wisdom, spoken by Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to his intimate devotee Arjuna. The Gita, 700 concise verses, provide a definitive guide to the science of self-realization. Indeed, there is no work even comparable in revelations of man's essential nature, his environment, and ultimately his relationship with God. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, is uniquely qualified to present this English translation and commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. He is the world's foremost Vedic scholar and teacher, and is also the current representative of an unbroken chain of fully self-realized spiritual masters, beginning with Lord Krishna himself. Thus, unlike other editions of Gita, this one is presented as it is, without the slightest taint of adulteration or personal motivation. The plate with 16 full color plates, the new edition is certain to stimulate any enlightenment in the reader. It is ancient yet thoroughly timely message. Henry David Thoreau say about it: "In the morning I bathe my intellect in the stupendous and cosmogonal philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. In comparison with which our modern world and its literature seems puny and trivial." Ralph Waldo Emerson says, "I owed a magnificent day to the Bhagavad Gita. It was the first of books. It was as if an empire spoke to us, nothing small or unworthy, but large, serene, consistent, the voice of an old intelligence which in another age and climate had pondered and thus disposed of the same questions which exercises." Mahatma Gandhi says, Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi says, "In doubts haunt me when disappointment stares me in the face. I see not one ray of hope on the horizon. I turn to the Bhagavad Gita and find the words to comfort me, and I immediately begin to smile in the midst of overwhelming sorrow. Those who meditate on the Gita will derive fresh joy and new meanings from it every day." So we will read two paragraphs of the preface, then we will take a leave. Okay, the preface. Originally, I wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the form in which it is presented now. When the book was first published, the original manuscript was unfortunately cut or short, less to than 400 pages, without illustration, without explanation for most of the original verses of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. In all of my other books, Srimad Bhagavad Bhagavatam, Sri Ishopanishad, etc., the system that I gave, the original verse and its English translation word by word, Sanskrit English equivalents, translations and purpose, this makes the book very authentic and scholarly and makes the meaning self-evident. I was not very happy, therefore, when I had to minimize my original manuscript, but later on, when the demand of Bhagavad Gita, as it is considered, everything is very requested by many, I was requested by many scholars and devotees to present the book in its original form. Thus, the present attempt is to offer the original manuscript of this great book of the knowledge with the full explanation in order to establish the Krishna consciousness movement more soundly and progressively. A Krishna consciousness movement is genuine, historically authorized, natural and transcendental due to its being based on Bhagavad Gita as it is. It is gradually becoming the most popular movement in the entire world, especially amongst the younger generation. It was becoming more and more interesting to the older generation also. Older generation are becoming interested so much so that the fathers of the grandfathers of my disciples are encouraging us by becoming life members of our great society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, in Los Angeles. Many fathers and mothers used to come to see me to express their feelings of gratitude for my leading the Krishna Consciousness movement throughout the entire world. Some of them said that it is greatly fortunate for the Americans that I have started the Krishna Consciousness movement in America. But actually, the original father of the movement is Lord Krishna himself, since it was started a very long time ago. But it is coming down to human society by disciplined succession. If I have credit any credit in this connection, it does not belong to me personally, but it is due to my eternal spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Vishnupat. Om Vishnupat Paramans Parivachakcharya Jai Prabhu Om Vishnupat. Pad Paramans Parivyakchari Swat Shri Shri Madhis Bhakti Siddhant Sarasadi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. So I stop here. Tomorrow I will do ahead. Thank you. And have a nice day. Hare Krishna. Read Bhagavad Gita. I welcome you all in the English lecture of Bhagavad Gita. So we will continue from where we have left. So this is second part. If personally I have any credit in this matter, it is only that I have tried to present Bhagavad Gita as it is, without any adulteration. Before my presentation of Bhagavad Gita as it is, almost all the English editions of the Bhagavad Gita were introduced to fulfill someone's personal ambition. But our attempt in presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is to present the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Our business is to present the will of Krishna, not that of any mundane speculator like the politicians, philosopher or scientist, for they have very little knowledge of Krishna. Despite all their other knowledge, when Krishna says man mana bhav mad bhakto madyaji mam namaskuru, we, unlike the so-called scholars, do not say that Krishna and his inner spirit are different. Krishna is absolute. There is no difference between Krishna's name, Krishna's forms, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, etc. This absolute position of Krishna is difficult to understand for any person who is not a devotee of Krishna. In the system of parampara, disciplic succession, generally the so-called scholars, politicians, philosophers and swamis, without their perfect knowledge of Krishna, they try to banish or kill Krishna. Writing commentary on Bhagavad Gita, such unauthorized commentary upon Bhagavad Gita is known as Mayavad Bhashya, and Lord Chaitanya had warned us about these unauthorized. Lord Chaitanya clearly says that anyone who tries to understand Bhagavad Gita from the Mayavadi point of view will commit a great blunder. The result of such a blunder is that the misguided student of Bhagavad Gita will certainly be wielded on the path of spiritual guidance and able to go back to home, back to go ahead. Our only purpose to present this Bhagavad Gita as it is, in order to guide the conditioned student to the same purpose for which Krishna descends to this planet once in a day of Brahma, or every 8.6 trillion years. The 8600000 years, okay. So this purpose is stated in Bhagavad Gita, and we have to accept it as it is, okay. Otherwise there is no point in trying to understand. Bhagavad Gita and to its speaker, not Krishna. Krishna first spoke Bhagavad Gita to the sun god some hundreds of millions of years ago. We have to accept this fact and thus understand the historical significance of Bhagavad Gita without misinterpretation on the authority of Krishna. To interpret Bhagavad Gita without any reference to the will of Krishna is the greatest offense. In order to save oneself from this offense, one has to understand the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he wasn't directly understood by Arjuna, Lord Krishna's first disciple. Such understanding of Bhagavad Gita is really profitable and authorized for the welfare of human society in fulfilling the mission of life. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is essential in human society, for it offers the highest perfection of life. How this is so explained fully in the Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, mundane wranglers have taken advantage of the Bhagavad Gita to push forward their demonic propensities and misled people regarding right understanding of the simple principles of life. Everyone should know what, who or Krishna. Know how God or Krishna is great. And everyone should know the factual position of living entities. Everyone should know that a living entity is eternally a servant, and that unless one serves Krishna, one has to serve illusion in different varieties of the three modes of material nature. And thus wander perpetually within the cycle of birth and death. Even the so-called liberated Mayavadi speculator has to undergo this process. This knowledge constitutes a great science, and every living being has to hear it from his own interest. People in general, especially in this age of Kali, are enamored by the external energy of Krishna, and they wrongly think that by advancement of material comforts, every man will be happy. They have no knowledge that the material or external nature is very strong, for everyone is strongly bound by the stringent laws of material nature. A living entity is happily the part and the parcel of Lord, and thus his natural function is to render immediate service to the Lord. By the spell of illusion, one tries to be happy by serving his personal sense gratification in different forms, which will never make him happy. Instead of satisfying his own personal material interest, he has to satisfy the senses of Lord. That is the highest perfection of the life. The Lord wants this, okay? He demands it, that you satisfy my sense and I'll satisfy all your senses, okay? Okay? You don't have to satisfy your senses. You have to just satisfy the God senses, okay? One has to understand this central point of Bhagavad Gita, the Krishna consciousness. Govind is teaching the whole world this central point. And because we are not polluting the theme of Bhagavad Gita as it is, anyone seriously interested in devotee benefit from study must take help from the Krishna conscious movement for practical understanding of the Bhagavad Gita under the direct guidance of God. Lord, we hope therefore that the people will derive the greatest benefit by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, as we have presented it here. And if even one man becomes a pure devotee of Lord, we shall consider our attempt a success. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, 12 May 1971, Sydney, Australia. So thank you everyone for listening. Thank you everyone.
भगवद गीता पार्ट 3 में आपका स्वागत है. तो ओम जानते मनंत से जनन्यम चला के शक्षुरुन तमिन तस्मे श्री गुरु मनाशी चैतन्य मनुष्य सप्तम ये नवतल से हम रूपा कदम तीसो पदांतिक मंदे हम श्री गुरु श्री युत्पत कम नम श्री गुरु वैष्णव सर्वराजतम सर्वनोदन रितम तम सर्वम सर्वतम सगत वरिजन सहितम श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम सिद्धाक्षर पदम I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him, and will sweet offer up of some within this material world with the world of mission to fulfill. Lord Chaitanya gave me the shelter under his lotus feet. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, and to all Vishnu, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord. थैंक यू. आज इतना ही पढ़ेंगे. धन्यवाद. आज की गीता में इतना ही. तो वी टेक अ लीव हियर. ओके ओके. भगवद गीता पार्ट 4 में आपका स्वागत है. हे कृष्ण करुणा
सिंधु दीन बंधु जगत पति गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमस्तु दे तप्त कंचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनी श्री ऋष्मानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वंचकल तरुवस्य च कृपा सिंधुभ्यो च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर श्री साधि गौर भक्ति हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम हरे राम राम ओ माय डियर कृष्ण यू आर द फ्रेंड ऑफ द डिस्ट्रेस्ड एंड द सोर्स ऑफ क्रिएशन यू आर द मास्टर ऑफ द गोपीज एंड द लवर ऑफ राधा रानी आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ऑब्लिगेशंस टू यू offer my respectful obeisances to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan, and you are the daughter of King Vrishbhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone just like desired reason. They are full of compassion for the fallen soul. For my obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Sadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda and all others in the line of devotion. Thank you. So tomorrow we will read more thing about Bhagavad Gita. Thank you for listening. Bhagavad Gita ends here for a small series. We will continue ahead from the fifth part. Today, five part end. सॉरी फोर पार्ट एंड सो भगवद गीता पार्ट फोर में हो चुका है पार्ट फाइव में आपका स्वागत है सो लेट्स बिगिन इट द स्पिरिट ऑफ भगवद गीता इज मेंशन्ड इन भगवद गीता इटसेल्फ इट इज जस्ट लाइक दिस इफ वी वांट टू टेक पर्टिकुलर मेडिसिन देन वी हैव टू फॉलो द डायरेक्शन रिटन ऑन द लेबल वी कैन नॉट टेक द मेडिसिन अकॉर्डिंग टू आवर ओन विम ऑन द डायरेक्शन ऑफ अ फ्रेंड मस्ट बी टेकन अकॉर्डिंग टू द डायरेक्शन ऑन द लेबल ऑफ डायरेक्शन गिवन बाय फिजिशियन सिमिलरली Bhagavad Gita should be taken and accepted as it is directed by the speaker himself. The speaker of Bhagavad Gita is Lord Krishna. She mentioned that every page of Bhagavad Gita is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Bhagavan. Of course, the word Bhagavan sometimes refers to any powerful person or any powerful demigod. Certainly, Bhagavan is Lord Krishna, a great personality. But this, at the same time, we should not know that Lord Sri Krishna the supreme personality of Godhead, as it is controlled by all great acharya, spiritual master like Sankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhavacharya, Namgarh, Swami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and many others, authorities of Vedic knowledge of India. Lord himself also establishes himself as the supreme personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita. He is accepted as such in the Brahma Samhita and all of the Puranas, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, known as Bhagavat Puran, Krishna as the Bhagavan Swayam. Therefore, we should take Bhagavad Gita as it is directed by the Personality of Godhead himself. The fourth chapter of Gita, the Lord says, Imam Vishwashvatam Yogam Prak. Vavan aham avayam vivasvam manav braha manur ishu ikshuakshe bravith evam parampra praptam evam rajarshya vidush vidu sakaliha एवं परम्परा प्राप्त एवं राजस्व विदु शाकाल ने महात योग नस्त परंतु स एवं मया स एवं मया ते दया योगा प्रोक्त पूर्णत भक्तो सी विश्वका चेति रस्यम भय एति Thank you all for today joining the session. Thank you. So, we welcome you all in the part of Bhagavad Gita 6 lecture. Thank you. So, we are going to start. Here, the Lord informs Arjuna that this system of yoga, the Bhagavad Gita, was first spoken the sun god, and sun god explained it to Manu, and Manu explained it to Istvakshu, and in that way, by this cyclic succession, one after another, one speaker after another, this yoga system has been coming down, but in the course of time it has become lost. Consequently, the Lord has to speak it again, this time to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He tells Arjuna that he is relating the supreme secret to him because Arjuna is his devotee and his friend. The purport of this is that the Bhagavad Gita is a treatise which is especially meant for the devotees of the Lord. There are three classes of transcendent, namely the Chirani, the Yogi, the Bhakta, or the impersonalist, the meditator, and the devotee. Here, the Lord clearly tells the Arjuna that he is making him the first receiver of a new parampara, disciplic succession, because the old succession was broken. It was delayed. It was... As it was broken, old succession was broken, it was the Lord's wish to therefore establish another parampara in the same line, in the same line of thought that was coming down from the sun god to others, and it was his wish that his reaching be distributed anew by Arjuna. He wanted Arjuna to become the authority in understanding the Bhagavad Gita. So we say that the Bhagavad Gita is instructed to Arjuna, especially because Arjuna was a devotee of the Lord, a direct student of Krishna, his intimate friend. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is best understood by a person who has qualities similar to Arjuna. That is to say that he must be a devotee in direct relationship with the Lord. As soon as he becomes a devotee of the Lord, he also has a direct relationship with the God. That is a very elaborate subject matter, but briefly it can be stated that a devotee is in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is one of five different ways. One may be a devotee in a passive state, one may be a devotee in an active state, one may be a devotee as a friend, one may be a devotee as a parent, like Yashoda Mai, like Nanda Baba. Okay. One may be a devotee as conjugal lover, like gopis. Okay. Arjun was in a relationship with the Lord as friends. Of course, there is a gulf of difference between this friendship and the friendship found in the material world. This is transcendental friendship which cannot be had by everyone. Of course, everyone has a particular relationship with the Lord, and that relationship is evoked by the perfection of devotional service. But in the present status of life, not only we have forgotten the Supreme Lord, but we have forgotten our internal relationship with the Lord. Every living being of the many, many billions and trillions of living beings has a particular relationship with the Lord eternally. This is called Swarupa. By the process of devotional service, one can revive the Swarupa. That stage is called Swarupsiddhi, the perfection of one's constitutional position. So Arjuna was a devotee and was in touch with the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. Supreme Personality of Lord in friendship. How Arjuna accepted this Bhagavad Gita should be noted. His manner of acceptance is given in the 10th chapter. Arjuna vacha param brahma param dhamma pavitram paramam dhamma bhavana purusham sashvatam divyam adi devam acham vipum apustum rashaya sarve devar shri narad ustatha असीतो देवलो व्यासो स्वयं चैवो ब्रवीसीमि सर्वं एतद् रतं मन्ये यन् मम वदसि केशव नाहि ते भगवान् व्यक्तिं विदुर देवना दानव. Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Personality of God, the ultimate abode, the purest, and the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narad, Asita, Deva, and Vyas confirm This truth about you and yourself, declaring it to me. O Krishna, I totally accept truth, all that you have told me, neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. After hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality, devoted Arjuna accepted Krishna as the Param Brahma, Supreme Brahman. Every living being is Brahman. The Supreme Being is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is the Supreme Brahman. Param Dhamma means that is the supreme rest or abode of everything. Pavitra means that is pure, untainted by material contamination. Purusham means that is the supreme enjoyer. Sashvatam, original, Divyam, transcendental. Adidevam, the supreme personality of Godhead. Ajam Dhamanbon, Vibhum, the greatest. No one may think that because Krishna was a friend of Arjuna, Arjuna was telling him all these way by way of flattery, but Arjuna was just to drive out this kind of doubt from the minds of the readers of Bhagavad Gita. Substantiate these phrases in the next verse when he says that Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of God, and not only by himself but by authorities like Narad, Asideva, and Vyasadeva. These are the great personalities who distribute the Vedic knowledge as it is accepted by all Acharyas, as it is accepted by the all Acharyas. Therefore, Arjuna tells Krishna that he accepts whatever he says to be completely perfect. Sarvam etad ratam manye. I accept everything as you say to be truth. Arjuna also said that the personality of Lord Krishna is very difficult to understand, and that he cannot be seen even by the greatest demigods. This means that the Lord cannot even be known by the personalities greater than human beings. So how can a human being understand Lord Krishna without becoming his devotee? So thank you. Today we will do this much only. So this is Bhagavad Gita part 6. Thank you. I hope you all enjoyed it. Okay, thank you. So, welcome everyone in the part of 7th session of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita should be taken in the spirit of devotion. One should not think that he is equal to Krishna, nor should he think that Krishna is an ordinary personality or even a very great personality. Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So, according to the statements of Bhagavad Gita and the statements of Arjuna, the person who is trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita, we should at least theoretically accept Sri Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. And with that submissive spirit, we can understand the Bhagavad Gita. Unless one reads the Bhagavad Gita in the submissive spirit, it is very difficult to understand Bhagavad Gita, because it is a very great mystery. Just what is the Bhagavad Gita? The purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is to deliver the mind gain from the nescience of the material existence. Every man is in it. It's in difficulty in so many ways, but yes, Arjuna was also in difficulty having to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna surrendered unto Sri Krishna. And consequently, this Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Not only Arjuna, but every one of us is full of anxiety because of this material existence. Our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence. Actually, we are not meant to be threatened by the non-existence. Our existence is eternal, but somehow or other, we are put. You're put into asat. Asat refers to that which does not exist. Out of so many human beings who are suffering, there are a few who are actually inquiring about their position. So, as to what they are, why they are put into this awkward position, and so on. Unless one is awakened to this position of questioning his suffering, unless he realizes that he does not want suffering but rather want to make a solution to all suffering, then one is not to be considered a perfect human being. Humanity begins the sort of inquiry is awakened in one's mind in the Brahma Sutra. This inquiry is called Brahma Jijinasa. Every activity of the human being is to be considered a failure unless inquires about the nature of absolute truth. So, Therefore, those who begin to question why they are suffering or where they came from and where they shall go after that, are proper students for understanding Bhagavad Gita. The sincere student should also have a firm respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as a student for Arjuna. Thank you and have a nice day. And thank you for listening and attending the lecture. So, Krishna book part 8. So, Lord Krishna descends specifically to reestablish the real purpose of life. When man forgets that purpose, even then, out of many, many human beings who awaken, there may be one who actually endures the spirit of understanding his position. And for him, this Bhagavad Gita is spoken. Actually, we are all swallowed by the tigress of nescience. But the Lord is very merciful upon living entities, especially human beings. To this end, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, making his friend Arjun his student. Thank you for today's small lecture. Bhagavad Gita part 8. Not part 9, okay? So, being an associate of Lord Krishna, Arjun was above all ignorance, but Arjun was put into ignorance on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just to question Lord Krishna about the problems of life so that Lord could explain them for the benefit of the future generations of human beings and chalk out the plan of life. Then man could act accordingly and perfect the mission of human life. The subject of the Bhagavad Gita entails the comprehension of five basic truths. First of all, the science of God is explained, and the constitutional positions of all living entities, Shivaji, there is Ishwar. Okay, which means the controller, there are Shivas, the living entities, which are controlled. If a living entity says that he is not controlled, that he is free, then he is insane. The living being is controlled in every aspect, or at least in his conditioned life. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter deals with this, the Ishvara, the supreme controller, and the Jivas, the controlled living entities, Prakriti, material nature, and the time, duration of existence, the whole universe, or the cosmic manifestation. Is full of different activities. All living entities are engaged in different activities. From Bhagavad Gita, we must learn what God is, what the living entities are, what Prakriti is, what the cosmic manifestation is, how is it controlled by time, and what the activity of the living entities are. Okay, out of these five basic subject matters in the Bhagavad Gita, it is established that the Supreme Godhead or Krishna, Brahman, the Supreme Controller or Paramatma, you may use whatever name you like, the greatest of all, the living beings are in quality like the Supreme Controller. For instance, the Lord has control over the universal affairs of material nature, as will be explained in the later chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Material nature is not independent. She is acting under the supervision of supervision of Lord. So she is acting under the directions and the supervision of Lord. As Lord Krishna says, Madhyakshara Prakriti Suritesha Chacharam. The material nature is working under my direction. When we see wonderful things happening in the cosmic nature, we should know that behind this cosmic manifestation there is control. Nothing could be manifested without being controlled. It is childish not to consider the controller. For instance, a child may think that an automobile is quite wonderful to be able to run without a horse or other animals pulling it. But the sane man knows that the nature of the automobile that the behind the machinery there is a man, a driver. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the driver, whose direction everything is working. Now the genes of living entities have been accepted by the Lord as well. We will note in the late chapters as a part and parcel, a particle of God is also gold. A drop of water from the ocean is also salty, and similarly with the living entities being part and parcel of the supreme kota, supreme controllers, Ishwara Param Ishwara Param Bhagavanam, Lord Shri Krishna, have all the qualities of Supreme Lord in minute quantity, because we are minute Ishwaras, subordinate Ishwaras. We are trying to control nature, as presently we are trying to control space, planets, and this tendency to control is there because to control is there because it is in Krishna. But although we have a tendency to the Lord it over material nature, we should know that we are not the supreme controller. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Thank you everyone for listening.
You are welcome in the class of Bhagavad Gita part 10. So what is material nature? This is also explained in Gita as inferior prakriti, inferior nature. The living entity is explained as a superior prakriti. Prakriti is always under control, whether inferior or superior prakriti is female, and she is controlled by the Lord, just as the activity of life is controlled by the husband. Prakriti is always subordinated, predominated by the Lord, who is a predominator. The living entities and material nature are both predominated.
Sorry.
Controlled by the Supreme Lord. According to Gita, the living entities, all the parts and parcel of the Supreme Lord, are to be constituted Prakriti. This is clearly mentioned in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Aparim etastva anyam prakritim vetim me param jiva bhutam. This material nature is my inferior prakriti, but beyond this is another prakriti, jiva bhutam, the living entity.
Material nature itself is constituted by three qualities: the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. Above these modes, there is eternal time, bound by a combination of these modes of nature, and under the control and purview of the eternal time, there are activities which are called karma. These activities are being carried out from time immemorial, and we are suffering or enjoying the fruits of our activities. For instance, suppose I am a businessman and have worked very hard with the intelligence and have amassed a great bank balance there, then I am an enjoyer. But then I have lost all my money in business, and I am a sufferer. Similarly, in every field of life, we enjoy the results of our work or we suffer the results. This is called karma. Ishwara, the Supreme Lord. Jiva, the living entity, prakriti, nature, kala, eternal time, and karma, activity, are all explained in Bhagavad Gita. Out of these five, the Lord, the living entities, material nature, and time are eternal. The manifestation of prakriti may be temporary, but it is not possible. It is not false, okay, but it is not false, okay. Some philosophers say that the manifestation of material nature is false, but according to the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, or according to the philosophy of the Vaishnavas, that is not so. The manifestation of the world is not accepted as false, it is accepted as real. But temporary, it is likened onto a cloud which moves across the sky at the coming rainy season, which nourishes grains. As soon as the rainy season is over, and as soon as the cloud goes away, all the crops are nourished by the rain dry up. Similarly, this material manifestation takes place at a certain interval, stay for a while, and then disappears. Such are the working of prakriti, but this cycle is working eternally. Therefore, prakriti is eternal, it is not false. The Lord refers to this as my prakriti. This material nature is also the separated energy of the Supreme Lord. And similarly, the living entities are also the energy of the Supreme
although they are not separated but eternally related. So the Lord, the living entity, material nature and time are all interrelated. Lord, the living entity, material nature and time are all interrelated and are all eternal. Karma is not eternal. The effects of karma may be very old indeed. We are suffering, we are enjoying the results of our activities from time immemorial, but we can change the results of our karma or our activity. And this change depends on the perfection of our knowledge. We are engaged in various activities. Undoubtedly, we do not know what sort of activities we should adopt to gain relief from the actions and reactions of all these activities. But this is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. The position of Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, is that of the Supreme Consciousness, the Jiva, the living entities. Being parts and parcel of the Supreme Lord are also conscious. Both the living entity and material nature are explained as Prakriti. And the energy of the Supreme Lord. But one of the two, the Jiva, is conscious. The other Prakriti is not conscious. That's the difference. Therefore, Jiva Prakriti is called superior because the Jiva has consciousness, which is similar to the Lord's. The Lord is supreme consciousness, however, and one should not claim that the Jiva, the living entity, is also supremely conscious. The living being cannot be supremely conscious at any stage of his perfection, and the theory that he can be so is a misleading theory, conscious he may be. But he is not perfectly or supremely conscious. Thank you, everyone. Bhagavad Gita part 10, hours.
Bhagavad Gita part 11, everyone, I welcome you all. The distinction between the Jiva and the Ishvara will be explained in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is Kshetrajan, the conscious, as is the living being, but the living being is conscious of his particular body, whereas the Lord is conscious of all the bodies because he lives in the heart of every living being. He is conscious of the psychic movements of the particular jivas. We should not forget this. It is also explained that the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of God, that is living in everyone's heart, is Ishvara, as a controller, and that he is giving direction for the living entity to act as he desires. The living entity forgets what to do. First of all, he makes a determination to act in a certain way, and then he is entangled in the action and reactions of his own karma. After giving up one type of body, he enters into another type of body. As he put on and take off clothes, as a soul thus migrates, he suffers the actions and reactions of his past activities. These activities can be changed when the living being is in the mode of goodness, insanity, and understands what sort of activities he should adopt. If he does so, then all the actions and reactions of his past activities can be changed. Consequently, karma is not eternal. Therefore, we stated that of the five items, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, time and karma, four are eternal, whereas karma is not eternal, but Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti and time are eternal. The Supreme Conscious Ishvara is similar to the living entity in this way. Both the consciousness of the Lord and that of the living entity is transcendental. It is not that the consciousness is generated by the association of matter. That is mystic in idea. The theory that consciousness develops under certain circumstances by material combination is not accepted in Bhagavad Gita. Consciousness may be poetically reflected by the covering of material circumstances, just as light reflected through colored glass may appear to be a certain color, but the consciousness of the Lord is not materially affected. Lord Krishna says, Maya Dekchena Prakriti. When he descends into material universe, his conscience is not materially affected. If he were so affected, he would be unfit to speak on transcendental matter as it does in Bhagavad Gita. One cannot say anything about the transcendental world without being free from materially contaminated consciousness. So the Lord is not materially contaminated. Our consciousness at the present moment, however, is materially contaminated. Bhagavad Gita teaches that we have to purify this materially contaminated consciousness. In pure consciousness, Our actions will be dovetailed to the will of Ishwara, and that will make us happy. It is not that we have to cease all activities. Rather, our activities are to be purified, and purified activities are called bhakti. Activities in bhakti appear to be like ordinary activities, but they are not contaminated. And ignorant persons like me, an ignorant person may see that a devotee is acting or working like an ordinary man, but such a person with a poor fund of knowledge does not know that the activities of the devotee of the Lord are not contaminated by the impure consciousness or the matter. They are transcendental to the three modes of nature. We should know, however, that at this point our consciousness is contaminated. When we are materially contaminated, we are called conditioned. False consciousness is exhibited under the impression that I am product of material nature. That is called a false ego. One who is absorbed in the thought of bodily conceptions cannot understand the situation. Bhagavad Gita has spoken to liberate one from the bodily conception of life, and Arjuna put himself in the position in order to receive this information from the Lord. One must become free from the bodily conception of life. That is a preliminary activity for the transcendentalist. One who wants to become free, one who wants to become liberated, must first of all learn that he is not in this material body. Mukti or liberation means freedom from material consciousness. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, also the definition of liberation is given. Muktir hitvanyatharupam swarupena vyavasthita. Mukti means liberation from the contaminated consciousness of this material world and the situation, and situation in pure consciousness. All the instructions of Bhagavad Gita are intended to awaken this pure consciousness, and therefore we find at the last stage of Gita's instruction that Krishna is asking Arjuna whether he is now in purified consciousness. Purified consciousness means acting in accordance with the constructions of Lord. This is the whole sum and substance of purified consciousness. Consciousness is already there because we are a part and parcel of Lord, but for us there is the affinity of being affected by the inferior modes, but the Lord, being the Supreme, is never affected. That is the difference between the Supreme Lord and the small individual souls. Thank you. We are ending our lecture.
Bhagavad Gita, Part 12. What is this consciousness? This consciousness is I am, then what? Then what am I? In the contaminated consciousness, I mean I am the Lord of all. I saw here. I am the enjoyer. The word reveals because every living being thinks that he is the Lord of the universe and the creator of the material world. The material consciousness has two psychic divisions. One is that I'm the creator, and the other is that I'm the enjoyer. But actually, the Supreme Lord is both the creator and the enjoyer. And the living entity, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is neither the creator nor the enjoyer, but a corporator. He is the creator and enjoyed for the tens a band of a machine cooperates with the whole machine. The part of the whole, no, the part of the body cooperates with the whole body, the end, legs, eyes, and so on, all the parts of the body. But they are not actually the enjoyers. The stomach is the enjoyer, the legs move, the hand supply food, the teeth, when all parts of the body are engaged in satisfy demanding stomachs, because the stomach is the principal factor that nourishes the body. Therefore, everything is given to the stomach. One nourishes the tree by watering its root, and one nourishes the body by feeding its stomach. Similarly, the body is to be kept in a healthy state, then parts of the body must be cooperate to feed the stomach. Similarly, the
Supreme Lord is the enjoyer and the creator, and we
are subordinate beings.
I'm meant to cooperate to satisfy him. This cooperation will actually help us, just as food taken by the stomach will help all of the part of the body, all of the fingers of the hand think that they should take their food themselves. Instead of getting to the stomach, then they will be frustrated. The central figure of the creation and enjoyment is the Supreme Lord, and the living entity are cooperated by God. Cooperation danger. The relation is also like that of the matter and the servant. If the master to fully satisfied and the servant is satisfied, similarly the Supreme Lord should be satisfied. The tendency to become the creator and then the tendency to enjoy a material world are there also in the living nature, are also in the living entities, because these tendencies are there in the Supreme Lord has created the manifested manifested cosmic world.
Bhagavad Gita, Part 13, I welcome you everyone. So, we shall find, therefore, in this Bhagavad Gita, that the complete whole is comprised of the complete whole is comprised of the Supreme Controller, the controlled living entities, the cosmic manifestation, eternal time and karma, our activities, and all of these are explained in this text. All of these taken completely from the completely whole. And the complete whole is called the Supreme Absolute Truth. The complete whole and its complete absolute truth are the complete personality of God at Sri Krishna. All the manifestations are due to his different energies. He is the complete whole. It is also explained in the Gita that the impersonal Brahman, is also subordinate to the complete personality, the complete superperson, Brahmano hi parish pratishtham. Brahman is more explicitly explained in the Brahma Sutra to be like the rays of the sunshine. The impersonal Brahman is the shining rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Impersonal Brahman is complete realization of the Absolute All, and so also is the conception of Paramatma. In the 15th chapter, it shall be seen that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottama, is above both impersonal Brahman and the partial realization of Paramatma. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Satchidananda Vigraha. Brahma Sutra Samhita begins in this way: Ishvara Param Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradi Govinda Sarvakaranam Karanam Govinda Krishna. His cause for all causes. He is a primal cause, and he is the very form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So such means eternity. Chid means knowledge, and Ananda means bliss. Satchidananda. Impersonal Brahman realization is the realization of a Sat, eternity feature. Paramatma realization is the realization of Satchit, eternal knowledge. But realization of personality of Godhead Krishna, realization of all the transcendental features, Satchidananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Again, in the complete vigraha form, we will with less intelligence consider the Supreme Truth to be impersonal, but he is transcendental person, and this is confirmed in all Vedic literatures. Nityantyanam Chetanasya Chetanam, Dabnishad 2.2.13. As we are all individuals, living being, and have our individuality, the Supreme Absolute Truth is also in the ultimate issue, a person, and realization of the personality of Godhead. The realization of all of the transcendental features in his complete form. The complete whole is not formless. If he is formless, or if he is less than any other thing, then he cannot be the complete whole. The complete whole must have everything within our experience and beyond our experience, otherwise it cannot be complete. Thank you for listening. So we end it. Bhagavad Gita, Part 14. Okay.
The complete whole personality of God, it has immense potencies. Parasha Shaktir Vivedev Shriyateya. Krishna is acting in different potencies, is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. A phenomenal world and material world in which we are placed was also complete in itself. Because the property,
because the 24 elements of me, is okay.
Sorry. Because the 24 elements of which this material life, the universe is a temporary manifestation according to the Chanakya philosophy, are completely adjusted to produce complete resources which are necessary for the maintenance and subsistence of this universe. There is nothing extraneous, nor is there anything needed. This manifestation has its own time fixed by the energy of the Supreme Whole, and when its time is complete, the three temporary manifestations will be annihilated by the complete arrangement of the complete. There is complete facility for the small complete units, namely the living entities, to realize the complete, and all sorts of incompleteness are experienced due to the incomplete knowledge of all of the complete. So Bhagavad Gita contains the complete knowledge of Vedic wisdom. All Vedic knowledge is infallible, and the Hindus accept Vedic knowledge to be complete and infallible. For example, cow dung is a stool of an animal. According to Smriti, a Vedic injection, if one touches the stool of an animal, he has to take bath to purify himself. But in the Vedic scripture, cow dung is considered to be a purifying agent. One might consider this to be contradictory, but it is accepted because it is Vedic injunction, and indeed, by accepting this, one will not commit a mistake. Subsequently, it has been proved by modern science that cow dung contains all antiseptic properties, so Vedic knowledge is complete because it is above all the doubts and mistakes. In Bhagavad Gita, it's the essence of all Bhagavad, all Vedic knowledge. Vedic knowledge is not a question of research. Our research work is imperfect because we are researching things which with imperfect senses. We have to accept perfect knowledge which comes down as stated in Bhagavad Gita by the parampara, disciplic succession. We have to receive knowledge from the proper source in the disciplic succession, beginning with the Supreme Spiritual Master, the Lord Himself, and then handed down to the succession of Spiritual Master Arjun, the student who took lessons from Lord Krishna, accepts everything that he says without contradicting him. One is not allowed to accept one portion of Bhagavad Gita and not another. No, we must accept the Bhagavad Gita without interpretation, without deletion, and without our own whimsical participation in the matter. The Gita should be taken as the most perfect presentation of the Vedic knowledge. Vedic knowledge is received from the transcendental source, and the first words were spoken by the Lord Himself. The words were spoken by the Lord are called Aparusha, meaning that they are different from the words spoken by a person or the mind involved who is infected with a few defects and mind is sure to commit mistakes, is invariably an illusion, but has the tendency to cheat others. And four, is limited by the perfect senses. With these four imperfections, one cannot deliver perfect information of all pervading knowledge. Vedic knowledge is not imparted by such defective living entities. It was imparted into the heart of Brahma, the first created living being. The Brahma in his return disseminated this knowledge to his sons and disciples as he originally received it from the Lord. The Lord is Purnam, all perfect, and there is no possibility of his becoming subjected to the laws of the material nature. One should therefore be intelligent enough to know that the Lord is the only proprietor of everything in the universe, and that he is the original creator, the creator Brahma. In the 11th chapter, the Lord is addressed as Prapitamaha, because Brahma is considered as Pitama, the grandfather, and he is the creator of the grandfather, so no one could claim to be the proprietor of anything. One should accept only things which are set aside from him, but the Lord has his quota for his maintenance. Thank you. Today's lecture, we will end lecture here only. Thank you, everyone. Vedic part 14. There are many examples given of how we are to utilize those things which are set aside for us the Lord, by the Lord. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, Arjun decided that he should not fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. This was his own decision. Arjun told the Lord that. So, Arjun decided that he should not fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. This was his own decision. Arjun told the Lord that it was possible for him to enjoy the kingdom after killing his own kinsman. This decision was based on the body because he was thinking that the body was himself, and that his bodily relationship had expansions were his brothers, nephews, himself, and that his bodily relations are expansions were his bodily relations of expansion were his brother, nephews, brother-in-law, grandfather, and so on. Therefore, he wants to satisfy his bodily demands. Bhagavad Gita was spoken by the Lord yesterday in this view. At the end, Arjun decided to fight under the direction of Lord. And he says, Karishe Vashvachanam Tava, I shall act according to your word. Thank you, everyone. This is the lecture daily of Bhagavad Gita. Thank you.
धन्यवाद. तो सो भगवद गीता पार्ट 17 में आप सभी का स्वागत है. इन दिस वर्ल्ड मैन आर नॉट मेंट फॉर क्वारलिंग लाइक कैट्स एंड डॉग. मैन मस्ट बी इंटेलिजेंट टू रियलाइज इंपॉर्टेंट ऑफ ह्यूमन लाइफ एंड रिफ्यूज टू एक्ट लाइक मॉडर्नरी एनिमल्स. थैंक यू. भगवद गीता पार्ट 17 में आप यू ऑल आर वेलकम्ड. In this world, men are not men for quarreling like cats and dogs. Men must be intelligent to realize the importance of human life and refuse to act like ordinary animals. A human being should realize the aim of his life, and this direction is given in all Vedic literatures, and essence is given in the Vedic literatures. Bhagavad Gita. Vedic literature is meant for human being, not for animals. Animals can kill other animals, and there is no question of sin on their part. But if a man kills for the satisfaction of his uncontrolled taste, he must be responsible for breaking the laws of nature in the Bhagavad Gita. It is clearly stated that there are three kinds of activities according to the different modes of nature: the activities of goodness, activities of passions, and activity of ignorance. Similarly, there are three kinds of eatables also: eatables in the goodness of passion, ignorance, and goodness. All of this is clearly described, and if we properly utilize the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, then our whole life will become purified and shrinkled. Thank you, everyone. Sorry. All of this clearly described, and if we properly utilize and utilize the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, then our whole life will become purified, and ultimately we will be able to reach the destination which is beyond the material, this material sky. So this is the answer, and this is the passage. Thank you for listening the lecture.
Bhagavad Gita part 18 में आप सभी का स्वागत है.
The destination is called the Sanatan sky, the eternal spiritual sky. It is in this material world we find that everything is temporary. It comes into being, stays for some time, produces some products, byproducts, dwindles and vanishes. This is the law of the material world. Whether we use as an example this body or a piece of fruit or anything, but beyond this temporary world, there is another world of which we have information that the world consists of another nature which is Sanatana. Eternal. Jiva is also described as Sanatana, eternal, and the Lord is also described as Sanatana in the 11th chapter. We have an intimate relationship with the Lord, okay, and because we are all qualitatively one, the Sanatana Dharma or sky, the Sanatana Supreme Personality of Godhead,
and Sanatan living entities, the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to revive our Sanatan relation. Oh, sorry. The whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to revive our Sanatan occupation or Sanatan Dharma, which is the eternal occupation of the living entity, which we are temporarily engaged in different activities. But all of these activities can be purified when we give up all these temporary activities and take up the activities which are prescribed in the Lord's Supreme Lords. Prescribed by the Supreme Lord, that is called pure life. The Supreme Lord and His Transcendental Abode are both Sanatana, as are the living entities. And the combined association of the Supreme Lord and the living entities in the Sanatan abode, in the perfection of human life, the Lord is very kind to the living entities because they are His Son. Lord Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvayenuishu aham bija pradapita. I am the father of all. Of course, there are all type of living entities according to their various karmas. Of course, there are all types of living entities according to their various karmas, but here the Lord claims that He is the father of all of them. Therefore, the Lord descends to reclaim all of these fallen conditioned souls to call them back on the Sanatana eternal sky, so that the Sanatana living entity is may regain their eternal Sanatana positions in their eternal association with the Lord. The Lord comes Himself in different Lord comes Himself in different incarnations, or He sends His confidential servants as son or His associates as acharya or acharya to reclaim the conditioned souls. Thank you and have a nice day ahead. Bhagavad Gita. Every one of you listen to Bhagavad Gita. So what I was saying that therefore Sanatana Dharma is not any sectarian process of religion. This is the eternal function of the eternal living entities in relationship with the Supreme Lord. The Sanatana Dharma, therefore, as stated previously, the eternal evolution of the identity Lord Sin. So Shri Padarama Nijara that which has nothing to do nor end. So when we seek of Sanatana, we must take it for granted on the authority of Sri Padma Charya. Okay, thank you everyone. Okay, so what I am telling you, that which has neither another beginning nor end, so when we speak of Sanatana, we are able to take it for granted and for the authority of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you everyone. Bhagavad Gita Patari, I welcome you all. So Therefore, Sanatana Dharma does not refer to any sectarian process of religion. It is the autonomous function of the eternal living entities in relationship with its eternal supreme Lord. Sanatana Dharma refers, as stated previously, to the eternal occupation of the Lord, or the living entities. Shripad Ramanujacharya is explained in the word Sanatana as that which has neither beginning nor end. So when we speak of Sanatana Dharma, we must take it for granted, for on the authority of Shripad Ramanujacharya, that it has neither beginning nor end. The English word religion is a little different from religion conveys the idea of faith. Faith may change. One may faith in particular process. We may change in this way to another, adopt another. Sanatana Dharma refer to that activity which cannot be changed. For instance, liquidity cannot be taken from water, nor can heat taken from fire. Similarly, the eternal function of the living entity cannot be taken from the living entity. Sanatana Dharma is eternal, eternally integral with the living entity. Even we speak of Sanatana Dharma, therefore we must take it for granted on the authority of Srimad Ramanujacharya, that is, that it has neither being nor ending. The way that which has neither end meaning must not be sectarian, for it cannot be limited by any boundaries. Those belonging to some is also sectarian. But if we deeply go into the matter and consider in the light of the modern science, it is possible as for us to see that Sanatana Dharma is the business of all people of the world. Nay, all of the living of the world, and all living entities of the universe. No, Sanatana Dharma, no religious faith, may have some beginning in the annals of human history, but there is no beginning to the history of Sanatana Dharma, because it remains eternally with the living entities. Insofar as the living entities are concerned, the authority it is just that the living entity has neither birth nor death. In the Gita, it is stated, and the living entity is never born and it never dies. He is eternal and indestructible, and he continues to live after destruction of his temporary material body. In reference to the concept of Dharma, we must try to understand that the concept of religion from the Sanskrit root meaning word dharma refers to that which is consistent, continually existing with a particular object. We conclude that there is heat and light along with the fire. Without heat and light, there is no meaning to word fire. Similarly, we must let go the essential power part of the living being, the part of his constant companion. The constant companion is his eternal quality, an eternal quality is his eternal religion. Thank you, everyone.
Welcome you all. भगवद गीता पारिधि में आप सभी का स्वागत है। पाठ 31 में सुवन सनातन गोस्वामी आज पूछा तुमने माप अबाउट द स्वरूप ऑफ एवरी लिविंग बीइंग। द लॉर्ड रिप्लाइड दैट द स्वरूप कंडीशन और कॉन्स्टिट्यूशनल पोजीशन ऑफ द लिविंग बीइंग इज द रेंडरिंग ऑफ सर्विस टू द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड। इफ वी एनालाइज द स्टेटमेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य, we can easily see that every living being is constantly engaged in rendering service to another living being. All living beings serves other living being in various capacities. By doing so, the living entity enjoys life. The lower animals serve human beings as servants, as serve their master. A serves B, B serves C, master, and C serves D, master, and so on. Under those circumstances, we can see that one friend serves another friend. The mother serves the son. The wife serves the husband. The husband serves the wife, and so on. If we go on searching in the spirit, it will be. So, we are seeing here the people come and deviate us from the path. If you analyze the statement of Lord Chaitanya,
We can easily see that living every living entity is constantly engaged in rendering service to another living being. A living being serves other living being in various capacities. By doing so, the living entities enjoy life. The lower animals serve human beings as servants serve their master. A serves B, B serves C, master, and C serves D, master, and so on. Under these circumstances, we can see that one friend serves another friend, the mother serves the son, the wife serves the husband serves the wives, and so on. If we go on searching the spirit, it will be seen that there is no exception in the society of living being to the activity of service. A politician present his manifesto for the public, convince them of his capacity for service. The voters therefore give the politicians their valuable votes, thinking that he will render valuable service to the society. The shopkeeper serves the customer, and the artisan serves the capitalist. The capitalist serves the family, and the family serves the state in terms of the eternal capacity of eternal living. In this way, we can see that no living being is exempt from rendering service to the other living beings, and therefore we can safely conclude that service is the constant companion of the living being, and that the rendering of service is the eternal religion of the living being. Yet man professes to belong to a particular type of faith with reference to particular time and circumstances, and thus claims to be a Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, or an adherent of any other sector. Such designations are known on Sanatana Dharma. A Hindu may change his faith to become Muslim. A Muslim may change his faith to become Hindu. A Christian may change his faith, and so on. But in normal circumstances, chance of religious faith does not affect the eternal occupations of rendering service to others. The Hindu, Muslim, Christians are in all circumstances a servant of someone. Thus, to profess a particular type of faith is not to profess one Sanatana Dharma. The rendering of service is Sanatana Dharma. Factually, we are related to the Supreme Lord in service. The Supreme Lord is a supreme enjoyer, and we living entities, as servitors, we are created for his enjoyment. And if we participate in that internal enjoyment with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we become happy. We cannot become happy otherwise. It is not possible to be happy independently, just as no one part of the body can be happy without cooperating with the stomach. It is not possible for the living entity to be happy without rendering the transcendental loving service unto the Supreme Lord. Thank you, everyone. Okay, in the Bhagavad Gita, worship of different demigods or rendering service to them is not appeared. Okay, in the Bhagavad Gita, worship of different demigods or rendering service to them is not appeared to them. No, is not approved. It is stated in 7th chapter, 20th verse. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Here it is plainly said, and those who are directed by lust worship the demigods and know the Supreme Lord Krishna. When we mention the name Krishna, we don't refer any sectarian name. Krishna means the highest pleasure. And it is confirmed that the Supreme Lord is a supreme reservoir of storehouse of all pleasure. We are all hankering after pleasures. Anando Mayo Bhaisa Nantra Sutra. The living entities like the Lord are full of consciousness and they are after happiness. Lord is perpetually happy, and if the living entities associate with Lord, cooperate with Him and take part in His association, they also become happy. The Lord descends into this mortal world to show His pastimes in Vrindavan, which are full of happiness. And Shri Lord Shri Krishna was in Vrindavan. His activities with His cowherd friends, boyfriends, with His damsel friends, and with other inhabitants of Vrindavan, and with the cows, were all full of happiness. The whole population of Vrindavan knew nothing but Krishna. Lord Krishna even discouraged his father Nanda Maharaj from worshipping the demigod Indra, because he wanted to establish the fact that people need not worship any demigod. They need only worship the Supreme Lord, because their ultimate goal is to return His abode. The abode of Lord Krishna is described in the Bhagavad Gita, 15 chapter 6 verse. न तद् भास्यते सूर्य न शशांको न प्रभाकः यद् गत्वा न निर्वन्ते निवर्तन्ते तद्धामं परमं मम. That supreme abode of mine is not illuminated by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. The verse gives a description of that eternal sky. Of course, we have a material conception of the sky, and we think of it as in relationship with the sun, moon, stars, and so on. But in this verse, the Lord states that in the eternal sky, there is no need for the sun, nor for the moon, nor electricity or fire of any kind, because the spiritual sky is already illuminated by the Brahma Jyoti, the rays emanating from the Supreme Lord. We are trying with difficulty to reach other planets, but it is not difficult to understand the abode of Supreme Lord. This abode is referred to as Goloka in the Brahma Samhita 5.27. It is beautifully described. Goloka eva nivashyati akhilatma bhutaha. Lord resides eternally in His abode Goloka, yet he can be approached from this world and to this end of the world. Lord comes to manifest His real forms, Satchitananda Vikraha. When he manifests His forms, there is no need for our imagining what He looks like. To discourage such imaginative speculations, He descends and exhibits Himself as His as Shyama Sundara. Unfortunately, the less intelligent deride Him, because He comes as one of us and plays with us as a human being. But because of this, we should not consider the Lord one of us. It is by His omnipotency that the Lord presents Himself in His real form before us and displays His pastimes, which are replicas of those pastimes found in His abode in the effulgent rays of the spiritual sky. There are innumerable planets floating. The Brahma Jyoti emanates from the Supreme Abode, Krishna Loka, and the Anandamaya Chinmay planets, which are not material, float in those rays. Okay. Lord says, Na tad bhashyate suryo na shashanku na pavaka yad gatva na nivartantai tad dhamam paramam mama. One who can approach that spiritual sky is not required to descend again to the material sky. In the material sky, even if we approach the highest planet, Brahmaloka, what you speak of the moon, we will find the same conditions of life, namely birth, disease, and all. No planet in the material universe is free from these four principles of material existence. The living entities are traveling from one planet to another, but it is not that we can go to any planet. We like merely by a mechanical arrangement. If we desire, to go to other planets, there is a process for going there. This is also mentioned Yanti Devavrata Devan Petran Yantri Putra Vrataha. No mechanical arrangement is necessary. If we want to interplanetary travel, the Gita instruct Yanti Devavrata Devan. The moon, the sun, the higher planets are called Swargaloka. There are three different statuses of the planets, higher, middle and lower planetary systems. The earth belongs to the middle planetary system. Bhagavad Gita informs us how to travel to the higher planetary systems, Devaloka, with a very simple formula, Yanti Devrat Devan. One need only worship the particular demigod of the particular planet, and in that way, go to the moon, the sun, or any other of the other higher planetary systems. Yet, Bhagavad Gita does not advise us to go to any of the planets in this material world, because even if we go to Brahmaloka, the highest planet, though some sort of mechanical contrivance may be troubling for 40,000 years ago, who would live that long, we will still find the material inconvenience about that. Disease and old age, but one who wants to approach the supreme planet Krishna Loka or any other planet within the spiritual sky will not meet with these material inconveniences. Amongst all of the planets in the spiritual sky, there is one supreme planet called Goloka Vrindavana, which is the original planet of the abode of original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. All of this information is given in Bhagavad Gita, and we are given through its instruction information how to leave the material world and begin a truly blissful life in the spiritual sky. Thank you everyone, and I wish you all very, very, very happy spiritual life. Thank you.